Let us pray. Shepherd of souls, refresh and bless thy chosen pilgrim flock with manna in the wilderness, with water from the rock. Lord, let the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it seems that we've talked about sheep in our readings 100% more than you probably thought we were going to walking in here this morning. But good news for us, it's a Good Shepherd Sunday, so we're talking about Jesus as our shepherd, what that looks like. And often when we start this conversation, we immediately as humans get a little defensive, maybe is a good word, because sheeps, I don't know if you know this, are not actually that sheeps. That's the second time today I've done that. Sheep are not actually all that bright. And yet, multiple times in Scripture, we are compared to sheep. That can rub us a little bit the wrong way, understandably so. But I do think there's something to that. And not just because it's in the Bible, but because there are some qualities about sheep that I have recently, or not so recently, come to know that I actually think speak very, very clearly to what it's like to be a human. So now that I have fun facts about sheep, you too are going to have fun facts about sheep. You're welcome. Here we go. So the first one is that sheep panic. That's a thing that sheep actually do. In particular, if sheep are following their shepherd and walking through a field that has water in it, and they get just a little bit of water, just a little bit, and they walk through it, they start to panic and lay down, which I think is hilarious because that gets you closer to the fear that they're responding to, which is drowning, than if they had just walked through it. But I think that's actually really relatable because I'd like to think every time I walk through a puddle, I don't immediately just panic and lay down. But in reality, if we widen that scope up a little bit, I do panic more than I'd like to admit to you up here. Often we walk through circumstances where we're not sure what God is doing. And I'd love to stand up here and tell you that I'm cool, calm, and collected, and that whatever adversity God throws my way, I'm ready and willing. But that's just not reality. We may not call it panic anymore, but we get anxious. Sometimes if we don't understand what it is that God's doing in our lives, or if we actually think we have a very clearly laid out structure for him to follow and he does none of those things, it can be anxiety inducing. It can cause us to start to panic internally. Another fun fact about sheep is that they have rectangular shaped eyes. They don't look like that from the outside, but the way their eyesight works and their pupils are is that it's actually rectangular, meaning that they have this very fascinating ability to see what's coming up behind them for the most part. They can see forward, they can see what's coming up behind them, and yet the peripheral is almost non-existent. How often do we look forward and start to get anxious and panic about what's coming our way? Or do we look back and start to romanticize, you know, the good old days? Things that were not actually all that good, we start to romanticize because at least it was known. A few weeks ago, we read about this with the Israelites. They got into the desert, and like we just sang and prayed at the start of this, God delivers manna. And after a while, the Israelites, being very relatable, started to go, you know, Lord, this is great and all, but actually Egypt's not looking so bad because at least we had food, because we're really sick and tired of this manna. They started to look back and say, you know, the slavery in Egypt, maybe it wasn't all that bad. Which we can sit here and go, that's crazy. And yet, how often in our own lives do we do that? Do we focus on looking backwards and remembering, or looking forwards and panicking, that we forget to look out about what God's doing in the here and now in our lives. I've come to the conclusion that maybe we are a lot more like sheep in a deeper way than ever before. That we do start to panic. We watch the news and we get anxious. We wonder what's happening in the state of our world. That we forget to look around and see all that God is doing in each of our lives in the here and now. It makes the passage we read in John this morning even more fascinating if we understand that to be true. Because Jesus compares himself to a shepherd. And historically, shepherds, when sheep were gathered into the pen at night, would lay down and sleep in front of the gate. So that anything or anyone who was coming in had to literally go through the shepherd first. That phrase, Jesus lays down his life, really starts to ring true in a different way when we understand that. And so when Jesus compares himself to the good shepherd, we're reading about the promise that he was going to make on the cross, because it hadn't happened yet. And we're reading about the promises that he's made to us. That in that moment in John, he was promising that this is his role. This is what he is going to do. And we know that to be true. He went to the cross. He laid down his life for us, his sheep. He put himself between us and death. That's what he did on the cross, so that we would go through him. We get to go through the gift of his grace in his death and resurrection. That's what he did on the cross. And in that, he protects us from the reality and the punishment of death that we deserve, all because he loves us. He makes the promise to tell us what was done, or what he was going to do, and what he has now done, that he lays down his life for us, his sheep. He also promises in John that he is the good shepherd. That not only does he lay his life down for his sheep, as a shepherd would do, but that he is the good shepherd. Because here's the thing. The shepherd would lay in front of the gate. He would protect his sheep. It was the shepherd's responsibility to protect his livelihood. Historically, that's what this was. It was his job. It's what he was expected to do. To protect the sheep. Jesus, in calling himself the good shepherd and us the sheep, lays down his life just the same. But he does it as a great sign of his tender care. Let that sink in. It's a great sign of his tender, loving care for us. Because you see, it wasn't Jesus's job. God didn't look around and hire him and say, you're the guy. Thank you to this extensive LinkedIn search, and I have now found the person who will be the savior of the world. He didn't bribe him. He didn't hire him. Jesus did it out of love. He laid down his life for us out of his immense love. Jesus, as the good shepherd, appears throughout scripture as a guide, our protector, our healer, and the shepherd of his sheep. We know that he provides spiritual food, healing, care, mercy. That he did that in the stories of scripture, and that he does that for us today. We see this throughout the gospels as Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd. Jesus doesn't allow himself to lose even a single sheep. We all know the parable of the lost sheep and the very catchy Corey Asbury song that came out of it a number of years ago that was everywhere. He leaves the 99 to go find the one. It's impactful that Jesus loves us enough to chase after us in this way. Many of you know one of my many roles here at All Saints is as preschool chaplain. And this parable about the 99 and the one is a parable that we teach, but to preschoolers. So you have to make it fun. And so this story is an absolute confession on my part. My first year in teaching this parable, we were still doing chapel on Wednesday mornings in the big church, as the kids would call it. Side note, there are spoilers for this chapel. So if you are hoping to come with your young ones, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert, here it goes. And we do this, we set up this whole scenario for the kids. And we have these giant sheep. I mean, giant cut out cardboard sheep. And we put them all over the church. And so my first year, I've heard about this, but I hadn't done it yet. And so we have 10 sheep is the goal. And the trick is, here's the spoiler, that the last sheep is supposed to be on my back. And so as I walk around and we count the sheep, we're missing one sheep. An absolute abomination. We cannot find the sheep. And the idea is that the kids help me act out the story and we count the sheep and then we go find the last sheep. As an example of what Jesus does for us. Well, a minor detail is that sometimes counting is very hard. And Miss Jen can attest to this as well. We counted those sheep 3 or 4 times before the kids came in. But, you know, things are happening when you're in a room of many, many preschoolers. And we start over here and the kids are in their classes and we're counting sheep, we're counting sheep, we're counting sheep. And I make my way around the sanctuary and we get about here, about halfway back on this side. And in our counting, I realize we have made a grave error. We're not missing sheep. In fact, we have so many extra sheep, which means the point of the story is going to be a little bit lost for our sweet 4-year-olds. And so we make it all the way around, and the parents are absolutely cackling because they've heard the parable of the lost sheep, and the kids are like, Revlo, you said there were going to be 10, and there's 13, so I'm not sure what happened, but here we are. And we got to have this beautiful moment where, one, we talked about counting because that's what you do in preschool. And they were like, I can't believe you miscounted that much. Me either. But we also got to have this beautiful story about how Jesus is always looking for the lost sheep. He's leaving the 99. He is a good shepherd. That even when we miscount or we feel like our lives are a disaster, He is our shepherd. He is seeking after us. That's the good shepherd we're talking about in the book of John. Because the very next line after he says he lays down his life is that he promises that he knows his own, that he knows us, not just in a casual, I ran into them on Park Avenue and I can shake their hand and say hi and how's it going? But he knows us, his sheep, like he and the Father know one another. He knows every bit about us. We read in the Psalms, he's known us since before we were knit together in our mother's womb. He knows us. He knows the absolute worst thing that haunts you still at night. He knows it. When you wake up at 3 a.m. and you're overcome with guilt, he knows it. He knows the thing that you spend all of your free time trying to avoid. If I just work a little harder or run a little faster or keep moving forward, it'll just disappear from my memory. He knows that maybe you drove through the stop sign just 2 blocks this way from us, that is at an absolute 4-way stop that's a diagonal, and that as one of the cars passed through, you maybe had some choice words to the driver in front of you. He knows that. He knows that maybe getting out the door with kids and family was hard this morning and you snapped. He knows those family relationships that you wish were different. He knows every single bit about us. And then the next words in John say, and I lay down my life for my sheep. He knows every bit about us deeply, the good, the bad, the messy, the ugly, and he still chooses to lay down his life for you, for me, because he loves us that deeply. If you found yourself here this morning in one of those places where it doesn't feel like you could ever possibly deserve this gift of grace that we get in Christ, that it doesn't feel like it could even be a real thing for you. You're like, I love that idea, but I'm such a mess that God isn't, he's not interested in me. These words in John are for you. They're for each of us because he loves us, even knowing everything about us, and he still chooses to be our shepherd. The choir sang it beautifully, but let's pray. We're going to end with this. We sang Psalm 23 earlier, but there's something absolutely stunning about these promises that we read, this reminder that Jesus loves us enough to care for us in every way. Together, let's pray Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.